Well, this morning being Father's Day, we will be recognizing our fathers toward the end of the message, and it's my delight, once again, to introduce our guest speaker. It's Pastor Noelani Jai, and I have both Ed and Noelani Jai up here. You'll notice on the front of your bulletin, we have Pastor or Reverend Noelani Jai, the lead pastor of Jesus House, launching really last week, but that was our soft launch, trying to prepare all of us for the ultimate release of the launch of Jesus House, which is September the 9th. So it's with that in mind that we continue to just encourage not only this wonderful gifted couple, but also so many of our dear friends and contributors are going to be helping to launch and establish a great work, a Foursquare Church in Westminster, California. And it's with our heart for the harvest. It's our heart for that city, our sister city, that we're launching a daughter church called Jesus House. Now, I'm thrilled not only just to let you see both Ed and Noelani, they had an exceptional story that they expressed and reminded us last Sunday, if you were able to be with us, the journey that our leadership has been on for really, I would say, quite a number of years. But the joy for me to introduce Pastor Noelani, who will be bringing the message on this Father's Day. As you know, it's always a thrill when we have a chance to have our staff speak and have them speak at strategic holidays. We had Pastor Jim Wall speak during Mother's Day. Now we get a chance to receive from Pastor Noelani Jai. I have received much encouragement, continual enrichment in my own life, challenges, and I believe that edification through the ministry of Noelani Jai. And it's with that in mind, I'm always excited when we get a chance as a church, and those of you who are watching via live stream, receive the ministry today from Pastor Noelani Jai. So would you welcome her as she comes to bring the message today?
Thank you. Well, good morning. So, I do have a joke, because my daughter told me years ago I should always start with a joke. Thank you, Kehow. I have jury duty this Friday, and I remembered at first service that I also have a dental appointment on Friday, so it's not going to be a great day for me. So come to paint night, and you can laugh at my painting, and we'll have a dance party, and you can cheer me up. But I have a Father's Day joke that I read once in Reader's Digest, except even though it was in Reader's Digest, it's PG-13. Is it okay if I tell it in church? Okay, stay with me. A man is in a jury pool when the judge asks all the prospective jurors, does anyone in this room need to be dismissed from jury duty? A nervous young man stands up, raises his hand. Your Honor, I'd like to be dismissed. My wife is about to conceive. Slightly taken aback, the judge responded, I believe, sir, you mean deliver. But either way, I agree. You should go. You should be there. And the man was dismissed from jury duty. So that's my happy Father's Day joke for all you dads. We have been learning through Pastor Paul and will continue to hear messages in a series called Falling Up. And Pastor Paul's been sharing with us stories of people from the Bible who messed up. And yet, there's this chapter, and I think you referred to it last week even, Hebrews chapter 11. And a lot of the people that he has shared and is going to share about are in Hebrews chapter 11 also. And this is the chapter that many know as the Great Hall of Faith. And I got to wondering, how do people go from failing back here to getting into the Hall of Faith? How do they get from that Hall of Failing or Hall of Falling to the Hall of Faith? And more importantly for us, how do we fall up from our messes and get into that Hall of Faith? How do we come out looking more like Jesus in our lives? How do we finish strong so that by the time we see him face to face, and we all will, we will look more like him? And that's really the point of Pastor Paul's sermon series, right? It's the point of our faith, really. We want to be changed by God over time, set free from things that cause us to fall. We don't want to be like what Jesus' younger brother James describes As a person who reads our Bibles, take a bunch of notes, and then we walk away and forget what we learned or saw. In fact, if you can see the slide there for James 1, 23 and 24, let's just set the tone for today by reading this out loud together. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after observing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, he will be blessed in what he does. Thank you. Well, one big way the Lord has helped me over the years to not walk away from what I see in this mirror is to have people in my life who hold it up for me, sometimes longer than I want them to. People, mentors, people who help me to look into God's word and see where I'm doing it, and more importantly, probably where I'm not doing it, where I may be forgetting what I saw in the mirror and just walking away, same old Noilani. People who knew that there's a lot in my heart for Jesus, but I don't always line up with what his word says. I have a good amount of head knowledge about God. I've heard these stories that Pastor Paul's sharing on this summer. Since I was 8 years old, I was saved and was at a church. I've heard these stories in Sunday school and read them in my Bible, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so the Lord, in his mercy, brought spiritual parents, mentors, into my life over the years, and they helped me apply what I was learning. And really, that's our goal as pastors. Any time we get a chance to preach is that God's word would take root in your life and would bring about change. But we can only hold this mirror up for about 30 minutes a week. And I brought my compact mirror today. You definitely need more than 30 minutes a week. And you definitely need more than a sermon on the radio or TV, because you can't even see really face to face those mentors or that mirror. We need people who will get in our faces and help us take what we read and what we hear and wear it. Put it on. Who will help us, I like to say, instead of read our Bibles, they'll help our Bibles read us. So I thought for Father's Day, what a great day to talk about spiritual parenting or mentoring. And I want to thank Ainsley. She actually came up with my sermon title for me, In the Spirit of Falling Up. Today we're going to learn a little more from a giant of the faith, Moses, about fathering. Sorry, ladies, yours was last month. That was Jim. So, who needs a mentor? The short answer is all of us. Who needs a mentor? All of us. Who should be a mentor? All of us. Who should be a mentor? All of us. All. All means all. And I am not exaggerating. A mentor, though, is not necessarily someone who's trained in the Bible, but just someone who's a little further down the road than you, chronologically, spiritually. And I don't just mean old people like me. My kids think I'm old, and I understand, because when I was their age, I thought my parents were old. But really, someone who, like a mother or father, will come alongside you and say, come with me. Let me teach you a few things that I know about the Lord. Let me take you under my wings and help you find your calling and your place in God's kingdom. Now, this happens very naturally in families, right? Parents, we mentor our children. We coach them in God's word. We advise them honestly when we see issues, and we love them. Most importantly, we love them unconditionally, even when they fall. That's mentoring. But parents aren't perfect. They can't teach us everything, and they're gonna fail us too. And sometimes we're not even in relationship with our biological parents for whatever reason. And that's when this biblical principle of mentoring becomes even more important, allowing God to mentor us through other individuals who are, again, just a little further down the road of life with Jesus. When the Lord put this message on my heart during convention, actually last month, The first mentoring relationship that came to my mind was that between Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. And that's found in Exodus chapter 18. We're going to have the verses up, but if you want to start turning there in your Bible, Exodus chapter 18. But I need about 8 minutes to go through 80 years of Moses' life, because I'm all about context. And so I want to bring you up to where we're at in this story. So while you're turning there, one thing I love about this story in terms of mentoring is that when you think of all the people in the Bible who might possibly need some help or need a mentor, Moses is probably not the first person you would think of. When most of us think of Moses, we think of Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, right? Or maybe if we grew up in Sunday school, we can go a little further back in his life to when he was baby Moses, and he was put on a basket in the Nile, on the Nile River, and rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, and then brought into the palace of the Pharaoh. And if you think about it, why would Pharaoh let her keep a Hebrew baby when he just ordered that they all be killed? I think it's because he was so cute. Now, Moses might have been, I think we better go back to Charlton Heston. It's too distracting. Thank you, by the way, Josh, if you're in here for the slides. Moses might have been the cutest baby on the block, but he did grow up. He grew up to be a great leader. And with some coaxing from God, who appeared to him and spoke to him through the burning bush, we kind of all probably heard that story at some point, Moses went from being a shepherd in Midian to taking on the leadership role of his life. He challenged the Pharaoh, spoke for God, and he was used by God to get the Israelites out of Egypt. And you know the whole Red Sea crossing thing. For as much as Pharaoh, though, was a formidable challenge for Moses, the Israelites, once they were out of Egypt, if you know this story, it was wine, 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 W-H-I-N-E. Where's the nearest Starbucks? We need In-N-Out Burger. They even forgot about God at one point, and in their desperation, they started making an idol and worshiping it, the golden calf story, right? And meanwhile, Moses is up on Mount Sinai now, and he's getting the Ten Commandments. And that's the thing about Moses. He had a fairly regular audience with God. And that's why his beard turned all white and he got all glowy, right? In fact, in Exodus chapter 33, it describes how Moses would, people would come to Moses at what was called the Tent of Meeting in order to hear from God. And while the people would wait outside and they'd be worshiping God because he was around, his glory was around and on the Tent of Meeting, Moses was inside. The scripture says, speaking with God face to face as one speaks with a friend. So why on earth would Moses need a mentor if he had God Almighty as his mentor on a regular basis? So the takeaway for me then, hopefully for you, is that even if a great leader like Moses needed a mentor, then don't we need one too? Or two? Or three? I think I need a bunch. All of us need a mentor. Let's think for just a moment as well about the parenting that Moses had up to this point. He's raised in the palace of the Pharaoh by Pharaoh's daughter, but before he could live in the palace, he was kind of a fussy eater, and so he would not nurse with any of the Egyptian women, and so God arranged for him to be nursed by his own biological mom. So therefore, since they nursed back then, probably anywhere from 3 to 7 years, Moses got to be under the influence of his bio mom, maybe even his dad, for somewhere between 3 and 7 years. Definitely, he was raised in the ways of Almighty God and taught about him and about his people. And then he was raised in the palace by Pharaoh's daughter for the rest of his childhood. So basically, he was raised as the Pharaoh's grandson. Now he's 40, and you may know the story. Moses is walking around outside the palace grounds, and he notices an Egyptian treating a Hebrew slave very harshly. And so Moses intervenes, and he kills the Egyptian. And Grandpa Pharaoh learns about it and tries to kill Moses. So Moses has to flee, and he goes to Midian. So you can see on the slide where he came from and where he goes to. He winds up in the land of Midian, and he runs into seven sisters at a well who are being harassed by some local shepherds, and Moses gets in there and saves the day. And for that, he gets rewarded with a wife. The eldest daughter of Jethro, her name was Zipporah, and he had two kids with her, two sons with her, and he continued to work for Jethro for another 40 years as a shepherd. So now we're kind of caught up. Moses meets the Lord in the burning bush one day when he's out pasturing Jethro's flocks. He's 80 years old at this point, and he receives the call to go back to Egypt and set the Jewish slaves free from the Pharaoh. And the first person he runs to when he comes down Mount Horeb is Jethro. If you read God's interchange in Exodus 3 with Moses in the burning bush, you get a strong sense that Moses is not sure he's going to come out of this mission alive. So when he comes down Mount Horeb, he's upset. He's submitting to the plan, but probably not feeling 100% sure about it. And he comes to Jethro. Now, obviously, there's a closeness between father-in-law and son-in-law where he can be transparent with him. And Jethro does what we need mentors to do. He encourages him and says, go. Just go. Go in peace. And that's Exodus 4, verse 18. So Moses goes back to Egypt. He sets the Israelites free from probably his great uncle by that point. And the Lord sends plague after plague after plague until the Pharaoh relents. And this is where we're going to land today, Exodus chapter 18. And this is the reunion of Jethro and Moses after all of this has happened. And I just want to posit at the beginning before we start looking at this, that no matter what kind of parenting we've had biologically or adoptively, no matter how close we feel to God, we all need a Jethro in our lives. So if you're filling in the blanks on your outline, every Mo needs a Jethro. Every Mo needs a Jethro. Or if you're a woman, I failed to say this last service, you need a Jethro. A mentor to help us apply what God is showing us in our lives to, his word to our lives. So, someone to hold up the mirror. So, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. If you want to follow along, I'll read for us. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people. How the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife Zipporah after he had sent her away and her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom. And I'll stop there. So basically, Jethro heard that the Israelites had been set free from Egypt, and he brings Zipporah and his grandsons back to be reunited with Moses, where he was camping in the wilderness. And you see, Jethro had personally sacrificed to care for Moses and his family by taking his daughter and grandsons back in. No doubt there were people that questioned Jethro's decision to care or to invest in this young leader. And young, 80 back then, was probably young, especially because it did involve him actually physically taking this family back in, maybe not unlike military families when one parent has to go away. But Jethro and Moses, they loved each other. And one can surmise from this, even just those couple of verses, that Jethro would do just about anything for Moses. Let's go on, verses 7 and 8. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and he kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey, and how he had delivered them. So there's this mutuality you can see in this section of love and care between Jethro and Moses. And Moses has great respect for his father-in-law because we see that he, even at age 80, bowed down and kissed him. And notice in verse 8, Moses, he tells Jethro everything that went down. So there was obviously a transparency between the two of them where Moses felt comfortable sharing even all the awful things that had happened. And clearly, Moses just needed someone to process with everything that he had just seen. And Jethro was Moses' safe person, safe place. And let's keep going, verse 9. So Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know," Jethro says, "that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God." So Jethro, in this section, he listened carefully, and he was delighted to hear all the good things that God had done. And that's what a good mentor will do. They will affirm the work of God in your life, and they'll join you in praising God with you for all that he has done in you and through you. A good mentor will help you kind of look back at your journey and identify where God has been actively calling you and challenging you and preparing you. Let's go on just a little more. Verse 13. And it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." So this is now the next day, and Jethro has this front row seat to see Moses in action as a leader for this growing nation. And he notices that Moses is overwhelmed and on the road to burnout. So Jethro speaks up, and he confronts Moses, and he says, in essence, "Why are you doing all this work when everyone else is just standing around and watching you?" And Moses answers, basically, "Because it's a government job, Dad." No. He answers honestly, "Because I have to. I have to. The people are coming to seek God's will from me. So I'm serving them because they need me." And that's why he was worn out. He was letting their needs dictate how he spent the hours of his days. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel pulled in so many directions because of other people's needs? And you're so focused on them that you have forgotten to take care of yourself. And you're so worn out because you're at the mercy of everyone else's demands. And if someone asked you, "Why on earth are you going at the speed of light?" you might answer a lot like Moses, "Well, because everyone needs me." And that's why we need a mentor. And that's why Moses needed a mentor. Because in this moment, let's look at verse 17. This is what Jethro says to him. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." So Jethro, he had the wisdom and the life experience at this point to know that this was not going to turn out well for either Moses or the people in the long run. And so he says to Moses, "What you are doing is not good." Now those are the words of a trusted mentor. What you are doing, it's not good. And only someone we truly trust can speak those words to us in a way that calls us out for our weaknesses and our poor judgment. A A mentor is someone who will even speak words that are difficult for us to hear at times. And let's finish with verses 19 and following. Now listen to me. I will give you, this is Jethro, I will give you counsel and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. You see, Jethro didn't just critique Moses in this situation. He actually helped him develop a whole new system of leadership and mentoring, really, for this growing nation. He helped Moses lead by mentoring him, by leading him. And a good mentor helps us. They help us develop a plan for our family life and our ministry life that will be best both for us and our families and for those that we serve. Jethro followed those difficult words of truth, it's not good what you're doing, with words of wisdom and advice on next steps. And Moses took that advice, and if you read the rest of this chapter, you'll see he ran with it. He would raise up the next generation of leaders. He would mentor people in positions of authority. And then this would save all of them from burnout and would allow new leaders to emerge in the nation of Israel. So now Moses basically would become a Jethro to the next generation. So what do I want you to walk away with today? Just head knowledge and what a cool story. No, I want you remember to walk away with something that can change your life, that you can adjust maybe in your life. And so I want you to think about two things as you leave here starting today. And the first one is, who is my Jethro? Who can mentor me? Because there's definitely not a shortage of people, even here in our church, who are a little older than you spiritually or a little further along the road. Who have you been watching? Ask yourself today. Who have you been watching that you want to learn from? Who has pointed you toward God at some critical times or maybe just in snatches of conversation and you just want to get coffee with them and get more God from them? Then the second thing I want you to walk away with thinking is, who is my Moses? Or who is my Mo? Who can I mentor? Because Mo doesn't just need a Jethro, but if you're filling in your blanks, every Jethro needs a Mo. Every Jethro needs a Mo. You are always, always older than someone else, unless you're a baby in Noah's nursery. So may I speak especially to those of you who are over 40 for a minute, and the rest of you can just eavesdrop. Is that okay? Do not count yourself out. I mean that. Your kids might not even listen to you anymore, but there are many who need what you have. And you're probably thinking, because I'm going to read your mind right now, no way, Noelani, if you knew all the things that I had done in my life, there's no way you would want me to pour into the next generation. Can I just be frank here? You are dead wrong. We are all a unique combination of our successes and our failures, maybe more importantly sometimes our failures, and the things that we've learned from them. And if you die without passing those on, your life ends with who? It ends with you. But you have an opportunity right now to leverage your life for the benefit of the generation that's coming up behind us. So the value of a life, if you have that slide, if you're filling in the blanks, the value of a life is always determined by how much of it we give away, by how much of it was given away. At the same time, think about this. The older you get, the more you have to give away. That's logical, right? The older you get, the more life you have to give away. Because you have a good amount of life behind you, You are literally sitting on this treasure chest of insight and wisdom and experience. I want to ask you to please don't count yourself out. Come up with a plan starting today of how to give it away. Find your mo. Find your mo. And isn't that just what Jesus did? He knew that his time on this earth was going to be short. He just had 3 years of ministry, really. So he chose 12 men who he mentored, and he knew they would continue mentoring others. And they continued this mentor sandwich lifestyle, mentoring, being mentored and mentoring. And on and on and on it went until June 17th, Father's Day 2018, at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. The call has not changed from our Lord and Savior Jesus. We are still called to mentor and to be mentored. I'd love to have the worship team join me back up here. I want to thank God for the mentors who have spoken into my life over the years. For example, when I was a newlywed, I was taking my very first semester of law school finals. And at the law school that I went to, that Cahill goes to now, your grade on the final exam counts 100% of your grade in the class. So if you don't pass the final, you don't pass the class, even though you've been there for 4 months. So I was going to skip small group that night. It was a Sunday night our group was on. And we would eat together, and then we would study the Bible and pray together. So we're talking 4 good hours of study time that I was going to miss out on. And our pastor's wife, she, this was in San Francisco, she told me, if you give God that time, he will give it back to you. Now that did not make practical sense to me, but I looked up to her, so I took her advice and I did not skip small group that night. And for the rest of my 3 years of law school, every time it was final exam week, I never skipped time with God's family or serving at church. And she was right. God always gave me back the time. He restored the years that the law school locusts had eaten, to quote Joel. And I passed. I passed every class. Thank you, Lord. But really, the lesson that I learned from Judy Appleby really set a pattern for the rest of my life in prioritizing God and the people of God, teaching me to apply the principle that's all over this Bible mirror, that God comes first. And she held that mirror up at such a critical point in my life and in my career as a student, as a lawyer, to put God first. And I thank God for Judy Appleby mentoring me. And then there's Pastor Paul. He's been my senior pastor for 14 years. And about 11 of those, he's been my boss, too. And when the Lord's call came to Ed and I to start it, not remember, it wasn't in the burning bush. You were here last week. It was on a beach in Maui. But Pastor Paul began that process. He was the first one we talked to almost 3 years ago. And he began the process of releasing me to follow God's call. And like Jethro, Pastor Paul has sacrificed to help me and Ed and now many of us to follow our collective call to plant a church in Westminster. And it is not easy for Pastor Paul to release this many people. And he said it last week so beautifully. He said it's not that because fewer seats are going to be filled. It's because each of us does matter to our Jethro, our church's Jethro. So he has been a sacrificial mentor in my life. I thank God for you, Pastor Paul. You know, Jesus said he was not going to leave us as orphans. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And he also gave us each other. But I think as Americans, sometimes we get in this pull yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality a little too much, and we move it into our spiritual life, and we miss out. We need other people. We need each other desperately to hold up this mirror of God's word, to speak the truth in love so we look more like Jesus. As Pastor Paul sometimes says, you may be the only Jesus that someone ever sees in their whole life. And if that's the case, then let's mentor each other. Let's hold up the mirror to each other of God's word in the body of Christ so that we can grow up, so we can grow up into our callings and help each other be the best reflection of Jesus to the world that so needs him, because he is coming back, and he's coming back very soon. And then together we can bring as many people as possible into the kingdom of heaven with us, yeah? Because that's what it's about. It's about life and death. And it's about eternal life. Amen? So now, go get a Jethro and go get a Mo. Happy Father's Day again. Thank you.
Exceptional message, wouldn't you agree? Would you just give an appreciation applause to Nolani? Some of the highlights I just want to make mention of, and you know it's important to me when I write it in my Bible, but how Moses was allowing the needs of the people to dictate what he should be doing to the point of wearing himself out. That's Moses was directed by Jethro. So not that needs are to be avoided, but it's always good to have somebody say there's a better way to do something. Don't you love that? Or, God, what do you think of all this? Because there's needs everywhere. So what a timely description. And I want to add as well, because if you have something to write on, these three marks would be helpful if you're saying, I'm going to go search for my Moses or my Jethro to help me. Here they are, three words. I like three words. Write down character. Characters, the first one. Number two, creed. C-R-E-E-D. Creed. Belief of somebody. Creed. And number three, convert. Convert. So if you're looking for somebody to say, I'm looking for a mentor, somebody that will kind of help me pattern my life, then look for the person's character, number one. Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. What is their life like? And you're not going to see that person's character unless you do life with them. That accountability. You cannot tell a person's character by somebody from a platform ministry or from a television production, you just don't know them. So what is their character like? Number two, what's their creed? In other words, what do they believe about Jesus? What do they believe about God? What are their thoughts about God? And number three, convert. What is the response of the people who are following that person you're looking to invite being a mentor? What are the response? What is the follower's life like who's following this person? So again, character, read, converts. I think that would help you very much. You say, that's a person that I want to invite in my circle of influence. Or these things might be lacking, maybe I can help them as well. Everybody needs a Mo, right? Everybody needs a Jethro, for sure. So with that, thank you for listening. Amazing, well done. Well, I want to take this opportunity at the conclusion of our service on this exceptional day, Father's Day, to recognize our fathers. And we want to just highlight a giveaway that we want to present to them. These are license plate protectors, and they have a little bit of a film on them. We want you to be aware. So you say, wow, looks like mine's shattered. If you peel away the plastic, you realize it's a clear film. But it has not only our website, but it has number one man of God. Well, that's important that we make sure that we are declaring today who we believe, without a doubt, that you men are. So you can see if you peel it back, it's great. It also looks good, too. You can just kind of frame your own face. Man of God, there you go, huh? So I want to invite our fathers, our grandfathers, our spiritual fathers, would you stand and remain standing? We want to recognize you. We want to distribute our framed out individuals, you number one men of God. And as they're standing, it would be appropriate we just applaud them. Would you do that? Just, yeah. Wonderful. Before we pray for these fathers, I want to have them remain standing, but I also want to invite now, we recognize the importance and influence of men in our society. So if you are a man of 18 years of age and up, I'm inviting you to stand too. We want to recognize you and provide a frame for you. You are important men as well. You are number one men here at this church, and this is important that we recognize the role that you play in our society and definitely in this church, that our world needs influential men of God. So 18 years of age and up, and that's going to be important. But we're thrilled that you men are here today. So it's at this opportunity that we've been given to pray a blessing upon you. So if you're seated, would you extend your hands toward or closest to the individual that is standing up? Father, we want to thank you for your hand and on our lives. And as I do, just even extending your grace over the men who are on this platform with me. That, Lord, we thank you that because of your wisdom that you made these men and placed them in this time slot of civilization. We are confident our society, this world, needs them and needs what they bring to a very dark and at times hurting world. Lord, continue to give them strength of days, an ability to speak into the lives of countless age groups and generations. May they move in that capacity without guilt of any form of fallout, since we live in an imperfect world. Lord, do not let them be dragged down by those that want to claim some form of failure. They are number one men of God. We declare that over them today. They have a legacy that they're going to add on and build upon. Therefore, Lord, it's not just for them this day, but the people and influences that they have provided, the influential lifestyle that they live, the families they have embraced and enriched, this society and community, and above all, this faith family. bless them this day. We speak a blessing upon them, that they will continue to feel my life has mattered. I have had purpose. I have no regrets. God has redeemed my life, and everything I have done, both good and not so good, Lord, you have redeemed and brought beauty even out of ashes. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' mighty name. And now would everyone just applaud these great men who are standing. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, what an exceptional day. And I'm telling you, it's a great day to be alive. And we want to make sure that if you're in need of any form of prayer, we want to make sure that you receive prayer up front. And I want to also just add, let's make sure that if you are taking some man out to lunch, let's get him to the front of the buffet line. Shall we do that? So I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let me dismiss in prayer. And Pastor Noelani and Ed, would you go ahead and please excuse yourself to the glass double doors outside? We want to make sure that people get an opportunity to express their gratitude for your ministry to us today. Thank you for coming to Hope Chapel. We're honored that you're here on this exceptional, sweet June day, but especially Father's Day. Our God loves us, doesn't he? Don't you feel the love of God? Let me now pronounce that. Father, we thank you for your love, that agape love, that love that bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. That love, you never fail. So Lord, thank you. There's going to be victory in everyone's life this week. Everyone's life is going to have an outcome that's going to be a success and great prosperity. Everyone. We thank you, Lord, for that as they go their merry way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.